Can I just begin by saying how encouraged I've been this week? Especially with there's a lot on my mind, a lot on my heart, but I've been encouraged this week to just see our church coming together, right? I'm encouraged by what's going on in our home groups, what's going on in our communities, the stories I'm hearing of our faithfulness to our neighbors and to our friends and families. On Wednesday, we had I had the year 6 class from Woodbury Primary just across the street here come to church, and they wanted to know more about communion, so they asked me to kind of lead the class, and that was a blessing because I had the table laid out and I was able to explain to them, you know, what communion means to believers, and it was powerful and a great blessing because I was able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them, right? Breaking down what the elements and what the bread and the wine represent, to talk more about who Jesus is and what he's done for us was a great blessing. But something that resonated quite a bit with the young people that I was talking with was also the fact of that everyone who partakes of communion is part of a universal body, is part of a universal kingdom that transcends us here and now, that includes people past, present, and future, all in the name of Jesus Christ. And that was amazing, and I got to share with them stories of my travels, of how I met Christians all over the world, and regardless of cultural differences, language differences, and things like that, to be able to know that we're all Christians and follow Jesus Christ, instantly you're part of a community. And that was really encouraging. And that evening we had reflections as well. The women of our church had reflections. I wasn't there, but I got pictures and I just saw the faces of our women getting together, spending time together, encouraging one another. And my prayer is that God really does a good work through in our women of our church through reflections and through your meetings together. And as John mentioned, and probably a lot of other people have mentioned as well, that the men got together yesterday despite the rain, and it was quite encouraging to see people turn up even though it was raining, right? And just to spend time and literally walking life together, walking with one another, talking about what's going on in our lives, sharing our testimonies of what of God's faithfulness, and just being part of something greater than ourselves. I was incredibly encouraged this week by these things. And even as I was thinking about Palm Sunday and preparing for today, and you know, our series of our Journey Together series has been one in which I've been really blessed by what other people have said and spoken, and the messages that we've heard in this teaching series. I've really been encouraged, and to just see us all just coming together, intentionally building community and serving and supporting and caring for one another. Yes, we have ways to go because we're not perfect, but I like the trajectory in which we're heading. And if we can continue to build upon that, I believe that God will continue to use us, not just here in Woodbury, but wherever we go, whatever community we are a part of. But when we come to Palm Sunday, I know we like to look at this, the Mark 11 passage, and today we're looking at Mark 11, but this gospel account, we look at this story and we see everybody celebrating Jesus as king and welcoming him into the city and things like that. And, you know, for me though, it's always, maybe I might be thinking quite negatively about this, but when we look at this story, it's not necessarily what we think is actually happening. You see, I like how John brought up the rugby, right? And how when the team entered, everybody's cheering and shouting and singing and chanting and doing all these things. But what if the team isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing? What if the team isn't meeting up to the expectations of the people that cheering and singing probably turns to booing and lack of attendance, isn't it? And I think when we're looking at this story and what we've just heard read out for us, I think, yes, there are faithful people in this crowd worshiping and believe in who Jesus is as King, and they are actually genuinely welcoming and celebrating him and bringing him into the city. Yet again, I think as John said this morning, that there were probably a lot of people who had no idea what was going on, that they just wanted to see what was happening, that went along with the group and went along with the crowd and just followed along with what they were doing, not knowing what was going on. But I think it's safe to say that the majority of people here were ushering Jesus in as a conquering king, a king with a sword, a king that fit their image, that would fulfill their purposes. They thought that Jesus was going to enter in to overthrow this oppressive government, this Roman government that had them, and reestablish the kingdom of Israel. Many followers of Jesus, many people who followed Jesus would have thought this. Even as they quote from 2 Samuel 7 and Psalm 2, the promise of God to David to bring in a true king who will bring about peace and a kingdom that will endure forever. Yes, it is true. He is that king, but not necessarily the king that they thought Jesus was. Jesus is doing something much more than we can imagine here, and what the people who were following Jesus would have imagined at that time. And as things at our church are picking up momentum, as things are, you know, that buzz is still in the air, and we are growing as a church, and we are moving forward, and things are starting to pick up, and people are getting re-energized about church and everything like that, what I want to do is give us three warnings. Traps that we ought to avoid. The first one being not to get caught up in the hype of everything, right? Our groups are starting to pick up, right? Reflections has been going solid for a long time, which is fantastic. The men's ministry is starting to pick up, right? We had, some 23, 24 people, men show up yesterday for this walk in the rain, right? Things are picking up. It's exciting, right? It's taking longer and longer to get people out so I can lock up and go home, right? Things are picking up, and it is exciting. And so when we see all of this excitement and this buzz, it's easy to get caught up in that, isn't it? Like many of this crowd that's following Jesus, many of them would have got picked up, right? Caught on with the hype, got on the bandwagon and started celebrating and worshiping and singing to Jesus, even if they didn't fully understand it. But I want to say and warn not to get caught up in the hype. We look to Luke chapter 9, verse 57 and 58, and it goes, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. What a response, right? You would think that if someone, right, we hear the Jesus, I will follow you to the ends of the world. I'll go wherever you want to go. You would think Jesus would say, fantastic, great. If more people could be like you, come on, let's go. Let's see what we can do. But Jesus' response paints a different picture of where this follower of Jesus is coming from. I think this follower of Jesus is getting caught up with the hype. I think he's seeing that Jesus is doing miraculous things. He's feeding the multitudes. He's healing the sick. He's casting out evil spirits. He's teaching with authority. He's getting caught up in it and going, ooh, Jesus is... This is all happening, right? This is all moving. There's excitement building. There are thousands of people following Jesus wherever he's going. I'll go wherever Jesus goes. Because if Jesus continues on this path, imagine the things that will happen for me. Maybe he's thinking that Jesus is some kind of presidential candidate for him, or MPs, right? Maybe a potential MP, right? Who ticks all of the boxes, who will, if they get into their office, if they get into the role, that they will do all of these, they promise all of these things, right? They paint that ideal picture. And you go, ooh, that's the perfect candidate for me, because they are going to do what I align with, what I want them to do, what I think is fair. But as we know, any presidential candidate, any MP candidate, usually paints that ideal picture, but when push comes to shove, rarely follows through with what they promise. The difference with Jesus is he doesn't lie about what he is offering. He paints the picture, but is good to fulfill what he says he is going to do. Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man does not have a place to lay his head. He is saying, following me may not mean that life goes perfectly for you. That following Jesus may not give you the position or the status or the influence or the wealth that you are pursuing. But again, Jesus brings something completely different than what we can imagine. He brings the kingdom of God. Jesus doesn't fit into our boxes, but as Jesus enters into the city as king, as he enters into our hearts as king, it is for us to submit to his authority, for us to submit and obey his law. When we look at the kingdom of God, it is completely countercultural. It goes completely against what we might expect Jesus to do for us. Jesus is doing his thing, bringing the kingdom of God at hand, and we are the ones who ought to submit and follow. Don't fall in love with the hype. Fall in love with Jesus. The kingdom of God is something that he mentions to the two next the next two followers who claim that, you know, they want to follow, or Jesus says, follow me. And the next two followers say, oh, but let me go bury my father and let me go say goodbye to those at home. And Jesus' response both is that they don't understand the greatness of the kingdom. They don't understand truly what Jesus brings. What is the kingdom of God? When we look at the kingdom of God through the story of the Bible, we know that when God, the kingdom of God is God with his people. In Eden, God was with Adam and Eve and they had fellowship. When Israel was wandering through the wilderness and even entering into the promised land to establish and to fulfill the promise that God had to Abraham, God was with his people. Looking at Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us in his life, his death, his resurrection and ascension, shows and fulfills all things. But the story continues that God is with his people. When we look at Pentecost and the Holy Spirit indwells the disciples, God within us, God dwelling with his people. That is the kingdom. But the kingdom is also what we're called to. It's God's plan for us. You see, above all of creation, we have a unique calling over all creation. We are to have dominion over all things. We are to do the work of the kingdom. And what is that? It's bringing order to chaos. Bringing light to darkness, right? Even the children's song we sang this morning, it's bringing light to darkness. This is the agenda of the kingdom, to make the work and love and wisdom of God known to the nations. We see this again in the tabernacle. Israel was shown God's law, was given God's law to be a holy people, set apart so that they can show the nation his wisdom, his power, and to be a blessing to them. And what does Jesus command his disciples to do as he ascends to heaven? He says, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and expand the kingdom of God. Bring order to chaos. Bring light to darkness. This is the work of the kingdom, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done for us. The kingdom of God is also God's future for us. We are a part of his kingdom. We are blessed and again called to reign as sons and daughters. We are co-heirs with Christ on the throne forever. This is our future. This is what we work towards. This is the relationship and the blessing that we have, the privilege to be able to be reigning with Jesus. That hope for our future should outshine everything this world has to offer us. It ought to give us a resolve, a resiliency, hope to endure any hardship, to persevere through any darkness. What better truth is there that we have been adopted by God to be co-heirs with Christ? What better truth is it that we've been invited into fellowship with God in his perfect community within himself? And what privilege it is to be grafted into his promises. This is the greatness of the kingdom of God. That on an individual basis, yes, God redeems us, right? God saves us from death. He saves us from our sins. So not only does he make us right, but no, he goes on to elevate us into glory. That is the greatness of the kingdom. And this is what these two followers don't understand. In 59 and 60, he says to another, follow me. And he says, let me first go bury my father. And Jesus says to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, proclaim the kingdom of God. This might seem very harsh, but we must think of this in context of what's actually going on. These followers, you know, Jesus had a great following. And so these people would have been following Jesus for a long time. And so actually, if his father was actually dying, the law would have had him be with his father. No, what this follower is saying is, ooh, I'm not sure if my family will agree with me following Jesus. So let me wait till he passes away so there's no risk here for me. My inheritance is on the line. Oh, but if they find out I follow Jesus, I might get cut off from that. Ooh, actually, Jesus, no. Let me wait. Let me go bury my father first. And when it's all safe, and when everything's all secure, let me come follow you. The second warning is having conditions. Don't have conditions. The but first, if onlys. And when Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead, what he's saying is anything apart from me leads to death. Anything apart from me leads to destruction. I bring the kingdom. I bring life. I bring these things, the greatness of the kingdom. If only we can understand that. All of these conditions we have will fade away. The third warning we can see is in 61 and 62. 2. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. For a lot of us in here who have call upon the name of the Lord Jesus as our King and Savior, I'm not sure if following Jesus has panned out the way you may have thought, right? We have our highs and our lows, and I don't know what promises were made when you decided to follow Jesus, but the temptation is there, isn't it? Ooh, I know as I follow Jesus, I'm now held to a higher standard, so that means I can't cut corners at work. Or maybe this practice at work is not glorifying to God, so if I go against this, this might bring trouble. Following Jesus didn't bring me the popularity or the influence that I thought it might have given me. Following, being like the first follower, the first example here, the first warning, maybe the things that we expected Jesus to do is not fulfilling me in my life. Ooh, but I do remember before Jesus, I did have wealth. I did have influence. I did have all of these things. It's like in Psalm 73, the psalmist there, he says, Lord, my foot almost slipped because I saw the wicked prosper. I saw so many people who willingly mistreat people. As I see so many people who willingly hurt others, cheat others, be successful, prosper. They mock me, right, for following God. My foot almost slips, is what the psalmist in Psalm 73 says. Don't look back. Jesus is saying, if you put your hands to the plow, look forward. Because if you keep looking back, you will have a hardened heart. Look at what happened to Saul's wife, or Lot's wife, when she turned back. If you continue to compare your life from what it was to what it is now, it will harden your heart. It will break down the fellowship that you have with other believers. Look forward. Look to the work of the kingdom. Look ahead to what is to come. Let me wrap up by just summarizing again the 3 warnings. Don't get caught up in the hype. What's happening at church is good. It's fantastic. Let's keep going at it, right? It's good that the Spirit is moving and we are growing and things are still buzzing. Great, let's pursue that. But remember not to get caught up in the hype of that, but fall in love with the source of that, who is Jesus Christ. Don't have conditions. Let go of the but firsts, if onlys. Let go of the conditions that you have, trying to cram Jesus into your box. Be honest with yourself and figure out how to let go of those things. A great way to do that is to journey together. Walk life with godly men and women in your life who can help you navigate through those things. 3, don't look back. There's nothing greater than what Jesus has to offer in the kingdom, in his kingdom. Look ahead to what is to come. Understand we get to partner with God to bring his kingdom here. We get to be light in the darkness. We get to bring order to chaos. Wherever we are, whether it's halfway across the world or if it's in this sleepy village, we get to partner with God in bringing his kingdom here. And yes, it's easy to lose hope if you look at the world and all the evil and war and strife and poverty and corruption and all of that. It's easy to lose hope. But again, look forward to what is to come. That day when Jesus returns, not as a humble infant babe, but when he returns as glorious King, who will bring peace, who will bring justice, and whose kingdom will last forever. As we journey together, brothers and sisters, let's encourage one another. Again, as we get through life, if we try to get through it on our own, these are pitfalls for us that we can easily fall into. We cannot do it alone. We need to do this together. As Ross said a couple weeks ago, we journey together with God. As we journey together. So let us do that. Let me pray for us. Lord, we